You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9.5 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, May the 12th. We are looking for our guest, Bill Press. He is the author of the book Trainwreck, The End of the Conservative Revolution and Not a Moment Too Soon. We hope to have him with us this hour. He doesn't mince his words. He says conservatives have controlled everything. And when they controlled everything, the presidency, the House, the Senate, the Supreme Court, the entire government, they screwed everything up. Everything they touched, they trashed, according to Bill Press. And he goes on, they should never be trusted to govern again. Do you agree or not? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Bill Press says, I think they have ruined the economy. They've ruined the country, they've ruined our image around the world, and they've ruined the conservative brand name. I don't think they can or should ever be trusted with power again. He says that conservatives should never be allowed to be in the majority ever again. He doesn't say completely out of government. He says that in the minority, they can prevent the majority from going too far. But no more conservatives governing. We'll find out about what he has to say about why the conservative revolution has ended this way. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And please include your first name and your community with your email. Again, still trying to locate a Bill Press. I hope we can find him because interesting book, interesting premise, and I thought that you would have a lot to say about it. But we will still take your calls. You can answer the question whether you agree or not. Have conservatives screwed up everything they've touched? Have conservatives ruined our country? Should they never be trusted to govern again? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Bill Press is a columnist for the Tribune Services. He is also the host of his own nationally syndicated radio program, The Bill Press Show. He's the author of many books. He's been on this program before. We talked to him about his book, Spin This, in the past. His most recently published is Trainwreck, The End of the Conservative Revolution, and Not a Moment Too Soon. Well, maybe we'll start taking your calls on this theme and continue to look for Bill Press. If there's no way to find him, maybe we'll switch gears altogether. But let me go first to George in Pound, who joins us. Hi, George.
Yeah, I think it's a laugh what he's doing. He's trying to sell a book is all he's doing. We've got to have a two-party system. Granted, they've made a heck of a lot of mistakes, but you can look back in history and look at my Vietnam, where I incurred some injuries, and you could say, well, Kennedy, a Democrat, really built it up. Truman is the one who started it, a Democrat, when he disbanded the Ho Chi Minh at the Potsdam Agreement. He lied to him. He says, no, France, you're not getting you're getting Vietnam, so you can join NATO, and then it caused this whole thing to go forward in Vietnam. Who got us out of Vietnam? Nixon. Johnson just built it up. Kennedy just built it up. I mean, it's silly what he's doing. He's just trying to sell a book. That's all I want to say.
All right. Well, I don't trying to sell a book. All of the authors have some ideas in their books, and his idea is that conservatives, and especially the Bush administration, he says that conservatives can't blame it all on the Bush administration because he says the Bush administration could not have done all of what has been done without the support of the conservatives who controlled the House and Senate and the Supreme Court at the time, but he says that the Bush administration has certainly hurt the cause, so to speak, of the conservative movement. Okay, good, we found him. Glad to hear that. Bill Press, columnist for the Tribune Services, host of the nationally syndicated radio program, The Bill Press Show, author of Trainwreck, The End of the Conservative Revolution and Not a Moment Too Soon, joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy, and my sincere apologies. I was, anyhow, it was a mix-up in signals, and I'm very, very sorry. As a radio talk show host myself, I know what it is to have a guest, and you go looking for him, but he's not there.
Well, we found you, and not a moment too soon.
No. Well said. Thank you. Yeah. It's an honor to join you.
Well,
thanks
a lot for being on. We started to just take some calls. George, our first caller, was saying, oh, you got to have a two-party system, and conservatives did a lot of good in this world, and thought that you were going overboard with that. You know, the conservatives should never be trusted to govern again. You want to just respond to? We need the two-party system. He says.
Well, I'm suggesting, and I'm not denying that we need the two-party system. Actually, frankly, and this is another conversation, perhaps I would love to see more than two parties. I think we're strapped with just two principal parties. I would love to see a very vibrant third party system in this country, third or fourth party. I wish the Green Party, the Libertarian parties were more powerful. But that, Joy, that's a conversation probably for another day. You know, what I say in the book here is really just three main points. One, the conservatives controlled everything, which you can't deny. They controlled for a long period of time the Senate, the House, the White House, and the Supreme Court, if not the media as well, I would add. Point number one. Point number two, given all that authority, given all that power, they screwed everything up. Mm-hmm. And they delivered just the opposite of what conservatives always said that they're all about, namely smaller government. They used to say smaller government. Maybe they still say it, but my point is this is not what they delivered. They say they believe in smaller government, fiscal responsibility, a non-interventionist foreign policy, a constitutionally limited chief executive, and states' rights. They delivered just the opposite. They screwed everything up, point number two. And point number three is, therefore, I say, they shouldn't be trusted with power again. That doesn't mean they should disappear. It means that they should be the permanent members of the minority because they're a tear-down agenda. They're not a get-things-done kind of agenda. And that's the role of the people in the minority, just to stop the majority from going too far. It's like the loyal opposition. I think that's their proper role for the rest of time.
Well, talk some about the definition of a conservative, because there are different conservatives. There's the Pat Buchanan conservative. There's are you talking about the far right wing conservatives versus a moderate Republican?
I guess I am talking about what I would call your classic conservatives. And I went back to the man that everybody considers to be the high priest of the conservative movement, of a writer by the name of Kirk. Who wrote a great book called The Conservative Mind. Everybody considers that the Bible of the conservative movement. And in Trainwreck, I take what he said about various issues, whether it's the environment or whether it's ethics and honesty in government, or whether it's fiscal responsibility, or whether it's the powers of the presidency, and contrast what he put out there as true conservatism with, again, what we developed. And I also take it up through Russell Kirk then to Robert Taft, who was even back in the 50s, a senator from Ohio who was known as Mr. Republican, classic conservative, followed by William F. Buckley Jr., followed by Barry Goldwater, followed by Ronald Reagan. So they finally get to power with Ronald Reagan. And then through Reagan and the first President Bush and Newt Gingrich and Tom DeLay, is when they turn conservatism on its head. And so there are different schools, if you will, of conservatism, but I go back to the roots of conservatism and just prove that what we've been handed by conservatives in power is not what they promised.
Yeah. And it was then the Bush administration, though, that that signaled the end of the conservative revolution?
They don't get all the blame, but I think the final nails in the coffin, if you will, came from George Bush and Dick Cheney, particularly in one area, and that is in presidential authority. again, Russell Kirk and others, all, in fact, Robert Taft, let me just use him as an example. Robert Taft opposed our entry into World War II. And I always thought of him, right, as this pacifist, almost un-American guy. How could he oppose our entry into World War II? And the, when I read what Robert Taft was saying at the time, his problem was not that he was pro-Nazi or sympathies with Germany. He was afraid of the powers that an American president would grab to himself and take on during wartime. That was his concern with America entering World War II. So there was always, among conservatives, this fear of a too-powerful presidency. And then you get up to Bush and Cheney, and they particularly, since 9/11, have operated as if the Constitution and American law does not apply to them. Look at the wiretapping without a court order. Look at the use of torture, despite American laws against it and international treaties that we've signed against it. Look at the fact that Dick Cheney won't release the names of the people he met with on his energy task force. He won't even release the names of the people who show up at the vice president's residence for social events, which every other vice president has listed. So, in that one area alone, I think you see that the Bush and Cheney have really put the nail in the coffin of conservatism.
We're talking with Bill Press. He's author of many books. His latest, Trainwreck, The End of the Conservative Revolution and Not a Moment Too Soon. He says conservatives have controlled everything. They've screwed up everything they've touched, and they should never be trusted to govern again. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After 5, Ben and his guest will discuss a new USA Today Gallup poll that finds Americans are driving less and making other lifestyle changes to cope with record high gas prices. I'm sure Ben will want to know if you are doing the same thing coming up after 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're talking this hour with Bill Press, author of Trainwreck, about the conservative movement, the rise and fall of the modern conservative movement from Robert Taft to Ronald Reagan to Newt Gingrich and George W. Bush. Bill Press says not only did they not deliver, they failed the movement. They've ruined the country, our image around the world, our economy, ruined the conservative brand name, and should never be trusted to govern again or to be in power again. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Geraldyn in Viroqua is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. First, I want to start out with saying that I am a Democrat and leaning to the left, but I don't think either party, if they got complete, they have complete control, as the Republicans had, that the Democrat, I don't think the Democrats would do any better. I think right now our government is being run by big business and lobbyists. It has nothing to do with the president or the vice president. that's my feelings on it. It's big business that's running our government.
Mm-hmm. Bill Press?
Well, I wouldn't deny that Democrats are capable of screwing up as well. They couldn't do any worse than, we're interchanging Republican, conservative, Democrat, liberal here, but Geraldyn used the phrase the Republicans. And I would admit that Democrats have proven themselves capable of screwing up again. But I think we've all learned some lessons during these past 10 or 20 years that where Republicans have dominated our national politics. I think we've learned that, particularly in the area of fiscal responsibility, that we all expect government to live within its means just as the rest of us have to live within our means in our families and our small businesses, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican in the White House. The reason I am not willing to trust conservatives in power again, and I don't think any of us should, is because Joy and Geraldyn, I think there's a genetic defect. And the genetic defect is this. If you start out not believing in government, if you start out as the enemy, thinking of government as the enemy, then you can never make government work. It's just not in the cards, right? If government is the obstacle and you run against government and then you get in charge, you can't make it work. Look at FEMA. FEMA worked beautifully under Bill Clinton. FEMA was a disaster under George Bush because once he put Joe Allball, in the first director, in charge of FEMA under the Bush administration, they cut its budget. They moved it out of the White House into the Department of Homeland Security. And Joe Allball, the director, testified in front of Congress. He didn't believe it was the federal government's responsibility to help states in times of natural disaster. So if you don't believe in government, you're never going to make government work for the American people.
Yeah. Is John McCain a conservative?
We don't know, do we? I don't say that just to be smart aleck. I covered John McCain when I was at CNN, a crossfire, rode on the Straight Talk Express with him in New Hampshire, and I thought he was very much an independent, very much a maverick, not a party-line, doctrinaire, conservative kind of guy. Now we see a different John McCain, and the John McCain we see now is doing everything he can to prove that he's a conservative. By the way, John McCain did get an 85% rating from the American Conservative Union last year. So I guess that would qualify him as conservative. But certainly on the Bush tax cuts now, he used to be against them. He's now their chief proponent. Even on torture, he sponsored legislation outlawing torture. And then most recently, he voted to allow waterboarding, to allow the CIA to continue to waterboard. So I think John McCain... either we're seeing the real John McCain now as a conservative, or he's just playing a conservative to try to win the presidency.
Gary in Bayfield is with us now. Hi, Gary.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, Gary.
Yes, I'm sorry I haven't had the opportunity to read your book, but the title certainly caught my attention.
I hope you get the opportunity.
I hope I do, too. I might be going through some low transmission here, but I hope I don't break up too much. I couldn't agree more that the Conservative Party is long past due for obsolescence. It's been working its way in that direction for some time. What I don't understand is why there isn't a check and balance, why Cheney and Bush and other colleagues weren't impeached, why there wasn't due process, why we put up with this current administration for the length of time we've put up with it. There's been a lot of loss of basic human rights, a blurring of separation between church and state, and one can go on. And let's hope that this is the nail in the coffin of the Conservative Party.
Yeah, well, let me, because your transmission is, it's a little hard to hear you, Gary. Why haven't the Democrats done anything to check and balance since they took control of Congress, Bill Press?
Well, that's an excellent question, which I think should be prefaced by another question, which is why more conservatives haven't stood up and raised alarm about the direction some conservatives were taking the movement and the Republican Party. For example, and I'll get back to the Democratic question in just a second. I just wanted to make this point. I was appeared on MSNBC with Joe Scarborough, Morning Joe, a week or so ago, and I mentioned those principles of conservatism, which I started out with, fiscal responsibility, smaller government, etc. And Joe Scarborough said, you know, absolutely. He said, that's my definition of conservatism. And he said, and that's why I left the Congress, because he said I ran for office to with those goals in mind. That was the agenda that I thought I went to Washington for. And he said, and I found out the conservatives were doing just the opposite. So he left Congress over it. But I don't recall his protesting publicly and openly at the time. And I'm surprised true conservatives didn't. On the Democratic side, I think the Democrats lost their backbone, to tell the truth. I'm very disappointed in the fact that the Democrats have, look, you can say, and it's true, they didn't have enough votes to stop them on too many issues. There are not enough Democrats today in the Senate to stop the filibusters on which the Republicans insist on every issue. But still, I think they could have done a lot more. My own belief, Joy, is that they were shell-shocked after September 11 for a long time, and afraid of being too critical of the Bush administration because in so doing, they would be painted as un-American and unpatriotic and not part of the war on terror. And I think they were afraid of their own shadow for a long time, and to a certain extent, they still are today.
Bill Press, our guest. He is the author of Trainwreck, The End of the Conservative Revolution, and Not a Moment Too Soon. Don in Madison is next. Hi, Don.
Good morning.
Hi, Don.
I agree with Bill Press on everything he said so far. And I've been trying to figure out just what the alternative for our nation is. I know we need two parties because you need one bunch of crooks on the outside telling us what the other bunch of crooks on the inside is doing.
That's a good way of putting it.
From what I can tell, on the basis of a long life, that's what it amounts to. I think that we do need two parties, and one speaks on behalf of working folks who need health insurance, who need a proper accounting for public funds. The other should not be speaking on behalf of people who hold wealth, but instead on folks who manage it, so that if we had a transparency of issues, one being kind of on behalf of working folks, the other on behalf of the management of wealth and how we should allocate resources and stuff of that sort. Mm-hmm. I think we'd stand some chance of having a government that would be useful and beneficial for all of us.
Reaction, Bill Press?
Well, I think that's an excellent statement. And I think what's important is, back to the theme of train wreck, is that the party in power, if you will, has to at least have some belief, not that government is the answer to all of our problems, but some belief in the positive role of government to solve or partly solve a lot of our problems. And if the party in charge is anti-government to start with and just there to make sure that government doesn't get anything done, then government's not going to work for the American people. And I think that's the role of government, to assist all Americans, particularly those who need help the most, in achieving the fullness of the American dream.
Fred in Baraboo sent this email. I'd like your reaction. The present group of people running our government cannot be considered conservative. Radicals, perhaps, but never conservative. Their actions are the antithesis of being conservative. These folks cannot be this incompetent on purpose. Thus, the Bush administration has been very successful enriching their constituency with the multinational corporations, including oil companies and the weapons manufacturers, by conducting a radical program ignoring the Constitution and rampant secrecy covering their activities.
Well, no, she's absolutely right. I mean, in many, as to the indictment of particularly the Bush administration, but the fact is they call themselves conservatives. They say they are operating a conservative agenda, and George Bush and Dick Cheney didn't do all of this alone, right? I mean, mm-hmm. That's why, Joy, I hear this a lot in response to the book. Well, it's true that, you know, what was delivered was not what conservatives promised, but that's because George Bush isn't a real conservative. But George Bush had the support for everything mm-hmm. he did of the conservative leaders in the Congress, in the House with Tom DeLay and Denny Hastert and others, and in the Senate with Trent Lott and Mitch McConnell and company. So, by the classic definition, they're not conservatives, but they are the conservatives of today, and they are in power. You know, one thing, just another example, Joy, that we haven't talked about. It was last week, I think, or the week before, the Congressional Budget Office revealed that the federal deficit for the first half of 2008 will be $311 billion. Mm-hmm. That means we're on track toward a $600 billion deficit this year, which surpasses George Bush's last record of a $413 billion mm-hmm. deficit. Now, how can a conservative deliver that and claim to be a conservative?
Yeah. Cindy in Menominee, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I haven't read your book, but this is a refreshing conversation. And
thank you.
I guess I've been thinking that that there is such a strong tendency toward libertarianism, the concept of no government. I remember Karl Rove being quoted in early 2005 as saying that his goal was to get rid of all government, half by 2007 and all of it by 2010. However, the person who took my call said, well, it's not really like they want to get rid of all government because they want ultimate control, basically. There is this small group of very wealthy people in our country, anyway, who tend to be feeling like they, maybe the idea that they've made it to the top, you know, business-wise, and so they're the ones that should lead us all, or something like that. It's more like an oligarchy or something.
Yeah, I don't, if I understand your question correctly, you know, I find myself sometimes feeling like a libertarian or a libertarian slash Democrat, because there are some things, I mean, even though I'm a Democrat, maybe the stereotype is I'm supposed to be, or we're all supposed to be, for the bigger the government, the better, right? And the more money the government spends, the better. And I don't really believe that. But so sometimes I find myself identifying with the libertarians. At the same time, I do believe that government has a very positive and a very important role to play. And even the libertarians, you know, are not going to say, well, we ought to get rid of the police department or the fire department or the military, right? So I think we've been wrestling with this question since Philadelphia 1787, which is, what's the proper role of the federal government, the proper role of the state and local governments, and what areas should government just stay the hell out of?
Hmm. Thanks, Cindy. Let's go next to Craig in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Joy, may I just, I know this is the shameless plug, but Cindy mentioned she hadn't seen the book yet, but my show is Bill Press Show, and our website is BillPressShow.com.
Okay.
So if anybody, for whatever reason, can't find the book at their local bookstore, they can get it through our website, BillPressShow.com. In fact, sign copies if they want, and we'll just send them out to people. So
mm-hmm. Okay. Craig in Madison, now you're on the air.
Yeah, I think you're going a little bit over. I mean, you're as bad as PETA. For God's sakes, you want to blame everything on the conservatives? Are you kidding me? I mean, what corner did you come out of?
Okay, well, give an example of something,
Craig.
You
know, when 9/11 happened, And everybody was all gung ho. You know, the Democrats were right there. It wasn't just a few conservatives. It was the whole country. And so, you know, it's the reason why we have this deficit is because we're in Iraq. Whether you like being there or not, we are there. We have to do something. We wrecked the country, whether you like it or not. Now we got to pay for it. That's why we have this huge deficit.
Actually, you're wrong. The deficit does not include the money that we're spending in Iraq. That's on top of the $600 billion this year. So that's not even counted. That's the deficit for just running this government.
Yeah, and where were the Democrats in doing that? The Democrats have been
in power for the last year. For 5 years, Republicans controlled, I repeat, the House, the Senate, the White House, the Supreme Court, and everything. Every budget. It was Republicans in the House, Republicans in the Senate, and the White House that sent the budget down and passed the biggest deficits. We have the biggest workforce, the biggest federal budget, the biggest federal deficit, the greatest national debt ever in the history of this country. Thank you, George W. Bush.
You can't blame it on the Democrats.
I mean, I take the blame if you could, but you can't.
I mean, the Democrats were right in there. Part of their job is to get along with the other side. Why weren't they in there helping them fix this stuff?
Because the majority votes, the House, the Senate, and the White House, you're just not listening. We're all controlled by the Republicans.
The Democrats
were there. They did. I think it helps if only one person speaks at a time. Okay. The Democrats were there. They were in the minority party. They didn't have the votes to stop the Republican spending spree. It's that, as even John McCain says, they, not even a drunken sailor spends money the way George Bush does.
Oh, for God's sake. I mean, you want to just blame one party? Why don't you tell the Democrats to get off their butt and do something?
I guess you just want
one side. It's not one side. It's both sides. It's the Senate.
If the Republicans, though, were in control all that time, why is it the Democrats' fault?
Why weren't they working with the Republicans
They couldn't stop the spending.
Every time we listen to the radio, it's always some Republican saying, "I'm not going to vote for this." And they never talk about them going over to the other side and saying, "Hey, how can we work together?"
You know, here's a word that's getting lost in our political vocabulary. It's called accountability. It's accountability. They were in charge. They're responsible. They were in charge. They should be held accountable. You don't blame the minority party when the majority party wrecks our government, wrecks our foreign policy, wrecks our economy, you know, wrecks our reputation around the world. They're responsible, and they have to be held responsible.
Yeah. Well, Craig got a lot of points in there, but we didn't address one thing he said in between the talking over each other. He said, what about the Democrats under Clinton and passing NAFTA? You know, the Democrats, when they're in control, do as much damage, I think was his point.
Well, I thought you were going to go back to where he said, what was it he said? I was as bad as PETA?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure what... where that came from.
Probably because he heard PETA on this program a while back. I don't know. But anyway.
Okay. Ingrid Newkirk has been a frequent guest mm-hmm. on my show as well. And, you know, I love PETA, but sometimes I think they go to extremes to make a point, particularly. But that's another conversation, too. You ask about the Democrats. NAFTA. Look, I opposed NAFTA at the time. I think Bill Clinton was a very good, if not a great, president, but I don't agree with a lot of his... Well, there are several of his policies I don't agree with. I didn't agree with the welfare reform that he pushed through. And I didn't agree with NAFTA. I think we have learned from... By the way, Republicans supported NAFTA, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. It was the unions and the Democrats who opposed NAFTA. That was one that Clinton pushed through over the objections of his own party leaders and party supporters. I think we've learned that these trade deals, you know, we have to be active in global trade, or else this country is going to lose its economic dominance in the world. But trade deals have to be not just free, but fair. And NAFTA was not fair to American workers in terms of protection for American jobs and preventing jobs from being sent overseas. By the way, I think, Joy, the labor leaders that I've talked to will admit that more jobs have gone overseas than have gone south under NAFTA. But it's emblematic, if you will, of the problems with a lot of these trade deals.
Our guest, Bill Press, he is a columnist for the Tribune Services, host of his own nationally syndicated radio program, The Bill Press Show. Author of several books, including Spin This and the recently published Trainwreck, The End of the Conservative Revolution, and Not a Moment Too Soon. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay tuned. Kathleen Dunn is with you after 9 o'clock. Talking all things political, news from around the state and nation and the world. All things political with Kathleen Dunn and her guest after 9. We're talking with Bill Press, author of Trainwreck. And our next caller is Keith in Shorewood. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for having me on. Good morning, Bill. I catch your show every so often on Air America and XM Radio.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Yeah. Hey, you were talking before, what role does government have to play? You're wondering about that. Let me help a little bit. Let's recall what happened during the 50s and the 60s when we're talking the Eisenhower administration largely, when the government actually invested in America in terms of the GI Bill, the FHA loans, the federal highway building programs, all those things, which helped really, I could say this without flinching, help create the middle class in this country. Now we've had this, let's call it an experiment for the last 25 years with Reagan and Bush, two Bushes, and in some extent Bill Clinton, this idea of limited government, and look what it's gotten us. I mean, we have crumbling infrastructure. We're falling behind in research. I mean, my God, just take the issue of the internet. I mean, over in Europe and Japan, other places, they're much further ahead of us in terms of internet. Professor Paul Starr from Princeton points out something that's rather interesting. Really, doctrinaire conservatism has a lot to do with doctrinaire Marxism, where they believe in philosophy running the government, and us so-called liberal types who are supposed to be stark raving mad tinfoil hat wearing people are the people who really believe in solutions. I think the funny thing is, if conservatives believe that government is so limited, why do they try so hard every election year to buy it?
No, I've wondered about that myself. If they're so against government, why do they keep running, right, for public office? But Keith, you make excellent points, and I couldn't agree more in terms of investing in America. I think that's what it's all about, and investing in and building the middle class. Instead, we've seen investment in terms of the tax cuts under this administration for the very wealthiest of Americans, and the middle class disappearing. You mentioned the GI Bill. I just want to point out there is an effort in Congress to bring the GI Bill back for veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan, and John McCain has opposed that legislation, which I think will become a campaign issue in November.
We'd be spending like drunken sailors if we did that, or what?
I don't know his reasoning, but yeah. It doesn't add up to me.
Yeah, Dave in Wanakee, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi, Bill. I wanted to point out that I think that talking about conservatives is not really what it is. Is the conservatives have been taken over by authoritarians that were influenced by Joseph Strauss, who propounded the noble lie and to avoid facing the ugly truth. And I think that the leadership of the Republican Party has embraced that they are always propounding noble lies like 9/11 is linked to the Iraq War and less government, that the Republicans will give us less government, when in fact they spend more on government, and they pass on the debts to the people, you know, to our children. And I would urge that Republicans sit this election out.
Well, what do you make of that, Bill Press?
Well, I'm not sure it's the influence of Joseph Strauss. It could be just the human factor that, as Lord Acton says, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Having preached a certain doctrine for 20 or so years, when conservatives got to power, they threw their doctrine out the window, and they delivered just the opposite.
Jennifer in Madison is with us now. Hi, Jennifer. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. I guess my question is, if they're not conservatives, what are they so we can avoid them in the future? Because I have just been horrified for the last 8 years. I spent part of it overseas in England when the whole debacle with New Orleans came about. And beyond forwarding sort of private industry and the oil industry, I really am not sure what their agenda is. And so I guess, what are they? Are they an offshoot, and what are they trying to achieve? Besides, just it seems incredibly chaotic to me, and just that what we're doing now is just, you know, my children, my grandchildren are going to have to be digging out from. So I'm like, somebody must think there's something beneficial coming here. I just can't sort it out. So what are they?
That's a great question. I think they're obstructionists. Maybe is a better word. They're certainly not true conservatives. And they're certainly not true liberals, and I don't think they have any positive agenda at all. I mean, they're not about seeing a problem and coming up with a solution to a problem and working with the other party to get things done for the betterment of the American people or of this country. At least not as the way we've seen them operate. There really is how to stop things, how to either slow things down or just stop things from getting done, which, again, for the party in power, I think is a disaster and has proven to be a disaster.
Thank you, Jennifer, for the call. Ralph in Sturgeon Bay, you're next. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just calling about something that I heard, and that was that for a number of years, Karl Rove and Norquist have generated a list of adjectives to be used with the word Republican and a list of adjectives to be used with the word Democrat. And, of course, all the words linked with Republicans would be positive, and all those linked with Democrats, including liberal, tax and spend, etc., would be negative. And I'm wondering, is this true? Was this list distributed, and were there essentially meetings and classes for Republicans to learn this sort of Republican speak?
Okay, let me tell you, Ralph, you are close, okay? There is such a list. The list was promulgated, has been promulgated. The list, there were classes held on this list, particularly for members of Congress who were or candidates for Republican candidates for Congress. But the list was actually developed not by Karl Rove or Grover Norquist, although they would have been capable of it. It was developed by Newt Gingrich. And in my first book, which is called Spin This, still available in paperback, I talk about that, and I have reproduce the entire list. And you're right, and I don't have a copy of Spin This with me, and I'm in my radio studio as we're speaking, not at home. But the Republican words are patriotic, loyal, honest, hardworking. There's a list of about 50 of them, by the way, that they should always use and did. And you heard them like an echo chamber on talk shows and in campaigns and in campaign literature. And then the words for Democrats were, lazy, big spenders, shiftless. You could kind of make them up. But Gingrich knew the power of words, the power of imagery, and he made sure that that others did as well.
Well, I'm wondering, Bill Press, if you think the American public already has your message, with our polls showing whatever 80%+ of us don't think the country's headed in the right direction. George Bush's favorability ratings way down the tubes. Do you think everybody is on the same page here?
I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic, but I'm also realistic, that elections can change perceptions. Certainly this much, Joy. You're right. I think the American people recognize that that the economy, we're in serious trouble with the economy, particularly middle-income America. I think people recognize that our foreign policy is really become a very reckless foreign policy. Starting wars ourselves, invading countries that didn't attack us first, our reputation around the world just going south as once we invaded Iraq. I think they recognize we have a presidency that's out of control and a federal budget that's out of control. And I think people, you mentioned the figure, 81% of Americans in the latest New York Times survey showed we're going in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. So I think they recognize that this gang is really screwed up. Where they may not have taken the next step is that therefore conservatives should not be given mm-hmm. another shot at it another chance.
Yeah.
That we really have to go in a new direction because of two things, and we've talked about them. One is people will blame George Bush, right? Well, it's not conservatives' fault, it's just George Bush's fault. Or they'll say, well, John McCain's a true conservative, and therefore we can trust him. And with those two arguments, I think they're the two arguments that people have to beware of and not buy.
Well, right now, those same polls are showing John McCain and whoever the Democratic nominee may be, Clinton or Obama, kind of neck and neck.
Well, they are.
Yeah.
That doesn't concern me that much because the campaign hasn't really started.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who the Democratic nominee is. We're pretty sure we do, but we don't know for, mm-hmm. for absolute sure. And therefore, the campaign to expose John McCain for who he really is hasn't started as either. And mm-hmm. once it does, I think you'll see. And the more that the Democrats are able to identify John McCain with the policies of George W. Bush, which won't be hard, because he's doing a good job of it himself, I think the more those polls are going to the more distance you'll see between Barack Obama and John McCain.
Randy in Laval, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, Bill Press, it's an incredible honor. I listen to you day after day. Breaking the code is something we need to do.
Well, thank you.
And I get on Sirius just to listen to you.
Well, I appreciate that very much.
You're
friends.
you're just one of those thinkers that we need out here. Anyway, listen. I actually emailed you a note one time, and I wanted to get your information on this, and now's my chance.
Mm-hmm.
I believe a block of voters that are going to be very crucial, I did this way back, and I want to know what you think, are going to be the Reagan, I think they're misnamed, they're miscalled. I don't agree with that, but the press calls them the Reagan Democrats. They are not that. But they call them that, and they're actually good Democrats that he saw a chance to go after. And I want to know what you think about that, and I think they're right. They're going to be very crucial. Mm-hmm. And if the wrong thing is done by the Democrats and they lose them again, McCain, you're exactly correct.
Mm-hmm.
McCain... we'll get them again.
That's the group that Hillary Clinton says she has an advantage with, Bill Press.
Now, I think Randy is absolutely right. I mean, the Reagan Democrats are a core voting bloc, and these are good, solid, blue-collar, working Democrats who agree with the Democrats on most issues, but who saw the party going too far, particularly on the big government and big government programs, spending programs, and Reagan promised them to appeal to them because he was putting the brakes on some of that. It's a very important constituency. I think they're ready to come home. Joy, you're right. Hillary Clinton has done a much better job of attracting them in the primaries than Barack Obama has, which maybe is why we need Hillary Clinton on the ticket with Barack Obama.
We have less than a minute. Do you think that's going to happen?
To be honest, no. But would I love to see it happen? Absolutely. I think it would be a dynamite ticket. And it's not impossible. Barack Obama really is the nominee, and he really looks at how to unify the party and win in November. And that's the most important thing, win the White House. I think he'd have to give serious consideration to Hillary Clinton, and should.
Well, that's another hour's discussion. Thank you so much for being
with
us.
Hey, it's been great fun. It's an honor to be with you. Yeah. Thank you.
Bill Press, author of Trainwreck, The End of the Conservative Revolution and Not a Moment Too Soon. Bill Press, also host of his own nationally syndicated radio program, The Bill Press Show. And he says you can get more information about the book on his website, BillPressShow.com. Thanks to Carmen Jackson for producing this hour. Thanks to Karen Prager for on-air production. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.